Grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we want to consider for chapel this morning is quoted for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We hear verses 14 through 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, and yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we pray, these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. The Christian faith must sure sounds strange to the world. Think of it from an outside, unchurched perspective. We would say that one of the greatest things God ever did was being willingly led like a lamb to the slaughter, to be tortured to death on a Roman cross. That's great. That's glorious. We would say that something as simple as water has incredible power to wash us of our sins, to even now save us. We come to church and we have a little piece of bread and a sip of wine, and yet we proclaim this is the very body and blood of Jesus. Now, to the natural mind, to the outside world, they might look at all this and say, that's preposterous, that's so absurd, what foolishness all of this is. St. Paul, in our verses, he gives some insight to that. He explains why when he says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And so here in our verses, St. Paul is pointing out that there are really two ways of thinking about things in our world. There is the natural mind, and then there is also the mind of Christ. And we see these two ways of thinking play out, especially as we face tragic events in our world. Like, for instance, what happened at Annunciation Catholic School a couple weeks ago, or what took place yesterday with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Or even today, as we remember the events that took place on September 11th, 2001. When tragedies like this are experienced and are being faced, people are asking, what about God? Where is God in all of this? Why would he let this happen? And we see how people, some people, they use these things as opportunities to return to God, as a call to repentance, to seek the comfort and grace of God. Whereas other people, they see these things and it pushes them away entirely, leading some even to mock our faith. And even since yesterday, we've seen trolls online mocking Christians and our prayers. Your prayers aren't working. Where is your God? What good do they do? And yet we continue praying as Christians. We keep trusting. We keep clinging to the truth that God's will is always good and gracious for us, even in the midst of suffering. Even when the world doesn't get it. Even when the world is working hard to try and inflict more pain upon Christians, we can trust that God will be working for the good of his people. St. Paul, in these verses and in this section in 1 Corinthians 2, he speaks directly to this tension that we feel that exists around us. And he says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. And that's true. Our sinful nature cannot comprehend the cross. Understanding the cross and the great glory of the cross, that's a supernatural thing. Our sinful nature cannot see how God's goodness could somehow shine through something that includes pain. The natural mind only sees weakness or defeat or folly or foolishness. But what does St. Paul say about us in our verses? He says something astounding. He says, you and I, we have the mind of Christ. We have a different way of looking at things. Now, what does that mean to have the mind of Christ? It doesn't mean that we can suddenly understand everything about God. No. Who knows the mind of the Lord, Paul points out. And yes, tragic situations still hurt. Suffering still stings. But having the mind of Christ means that we can trust the one who does understand these things. We trust the one who promises to go to work so that even the evil things that are done against us, he's going to somehow, some way, flip them upside down so that they all work out for our good, so that they serve as blessings to you and me. And that means that with the mind of Christ, as we face tragic situations and difficult days as we have, it means that we can walk through these times. We can walk through the darkest valleys still confident in God's promises because we know that God loves us. That's what the mind of Christ is. We have peace with God himself. He is for us. We belong to him. And his plans for you and me are eternal. And this is something especially important for you, my college student friends, to really grasp and lean on, rejoice in the fact that you are given the mind of Christ. Because you're in a season of life where you are forming convictions. You're being challenged by competing worldviews all around us. You're constantly being confronted with other ideas that might seem to be smarter or wiser or newer or more enlightened than what you perhaps grew up believing. You might even be made to feel foolish for the fact that you've trusted in Scripture, that you believe in Christ, that you take your faith seriously. But St. Paul, in our verses, he says, don't let the world judge you. It's not you that's crazy. It's the world that is blind. And the fact is, all of us, all people, are naturally born with this natural mind. We are unable to receive God's truth. We're spiritually blind. We are spiritually dead. We're like a radio that has its antenna up among all the radio waves. But there's no power. It can't tune in. It can't receive anything because it's not plugged in. It's turned off. But the Holy Spirit comes along. He calls you by the gospel. He enlightens you with his gifts. He calls and sanctifies and keeps you in the one true faith. And he is the one who turns the power on. And suddenly you start receiving spiritual truth. You are brought to life. You're given the mind of Christ. And that changes everything for us. It gives us a completely different outlook on life. Remember in The Wizard of Oz when the house lands after the tornado and Dorothy comes out the front door and suddenly everything goes from black and white to beautiful, glorious color? Well, that's what it's like for us as Christians. That's how we get to see our lives when we come to realize the love of God that is for us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Everything suddenly is a different color. It's a different perspective. It looks totally different. Gives you a different perspective. Gives you a different perspective and outlook on how to face suffering, for instance. Like Jesus did. Now we can trust that God the Father, who is for us, who loves us, is going to continue to be for us and will lead us even when the pathway looks treacherous and dark and scary, even when there's a cross directly in front of us. Like Job, we can say the Lord gives, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It changes things for us, this mind of Christ. So, for instance, it changes how we can look at the other people around us. Even the world around us that might mock us, might hate us, might try to shoot bullets at us. But we see these people as souls in need of the same gospel that we have, that need to be saved. These are people who are not our enemies. They're blind. They're spiritually dead, as we once were. But we know the person who can heal those things. Here's the tension for you and me. Even though you and I have been regenerated, by the Holy Spirit, even though we have now been given the mind of Christ, we still wrestle. We are still tempted to think in the old natural kinds of ways. The sinful flesh, it still remains in us. And the devil is constantly working to try and pull you away, to unplug you from God's word and truth. And Luther himself acknowledged this and made an important statement in the days of the Reformation that is still rings true for us today and for people of all time. He said, simul justus et peccator. We are at the same times just, righteous. We are saints in God's eyes. And yet at the exact same moment in time until we leave this world, we're struggling with sin. We are broken, hurting people. In Christ, God looks at you and he sees someone who is fully righteous before him. And yet we fully acknowledge and admit and know that we're in trouble because the sinful fallen mind and image of Adam still clings to us. And that sinful flesh, it whispers, it doubts, it resists. And that can make our lives so messy and challenging at times. Your old sinful self is like an obnoxious spiritual autocorrect. You write to someone and you try and say, I'm praying for you, but it comes out, oh, I'm partying for you. You mean to trust God's will, but then that nature inside of us, it subtly nudges us away from that and towards self-reliance or fear or cynicism. So even as believers, when tragedy strikes or evil seems to prevail all around us, we often end up defaulting to things like fear and doubt. And so we end up questioning God's promises. We resist his word. There are times where we join the rest of the world and maybe wondering, where is he in all of this? Yes, it's true. The old mind is still afflicting us. It's still there, and we hear its voice far more than we would like to admit. St. Paul himself spoke personally about this struggle in Romans chapter 7. The good I want to do, it's not what I'm doing. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing, he says. What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? But thanks be to God in our Lord Jesus Christ, he says. Don't lose heart. Paul's words to us today in our text are there to give you and me confidence. Paul proclaims that you have been given the mind of Christ. And that's not something you earn. That's not something you achieve for yourself. It's handed to you as a gift by God himself. It was given to you in your baptism where you were clothed with Christ. It's renewed in you every time you hear the gospel message proclaimed and preached to you. It is strengthened within you as you come to church and you receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins in the Lord's Supper. So even then, when your thoughts waver or the path ahead of you might feel uncertain, you can know that you possess the mind of Christ, and that never fails before God. You and I can have complete peace with God. We can remain calm and steadfast, knowing that God is for us. We are deeply loved by him. Our hope isn't based or rooted upon things here in this broken world. The mind of Christ sees the eternal glories that are in store for us. And that is something that no internet troll, no persecutor of the Christian faith, no assassin, no terrorist can ever take away from you or me. Now in Christ, you see current trouble and suffering not as things that are meaningless. We see it differently. We see it through the lens of the cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. It's the ultimate reminder of how God works, of how he works in the most surprising kind of ways, how he has the power and ability to bring life even out of death, how he brings strength out of complete, seemingly weak things, how he works great and glorious things through things that are seemingly hopeless and lost. This is how God works, and this is how he will continue to work for you and me, his people. And so when we face times of trouble, when we are upset by what's going on around us in the world from the natural minds of the people around us, be encouraged here by these words. Be encouraged by the way that God works for you and me. This is ultimately what Paul was encouraging the Corinthian congregation to do as he's writing to them in this epistle. That congregation was a hot mess, all sorts of problems and struggles that they were facing as they had division in their midst and all sorts of awful sins they were struggling with. Paul was encouraging them to not think as we are naturally inclined to, but to instead be tuned into and desiring to have that mind of Christ that knows the peace of God. And dear friends, know that peace that you have with God. That mind of Christ also knows and sees sin for what it is. It's something that Jesus has carried to the cross. There he has paid for it all. Through repentance, we turn to him. He is happy to lift that burden off of us. He gives us hope forever. And through faith, we now see a Savior with arms wide open saying, "Come, join me. Well done, my good and faithful servant." St. Paul's words here are meant to give us confidence, especially on days like today. Yes, the world may mock or persecute us. It might try to silence us and our faith. But you and I, we have a sure and certain hope that overcomes all tragedy and over all evil. We have a king who can make life and bring life even out of death itself. Yes, the world around us might call us foolish for believing what we do, for holding to the gospel. But in reality, dear friends, you and I are the ones who see clearly. The Spirit has opened our eyes. Don't let the world's judgment drag you down. Don't let your sinful nature lead you to doubt. Rejoice in the fact that God gives you the mind of Christ. That means that you can trust him. You can trust that God loves you, that he is fulfilling his promises for you, that he is going to work everything out for your good. Amen. Please rise for prayer. We pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for working faith in our hearts and for giving us the mind of Christ. Though the world sees your word as foolish, you have opened our eyes to the wisdom of the cross and to the sure hope that we have in Jesus. In the face of sorrow and evil, keep and preserve us in your grace. Likewise, be with our nation in this time of discord and hatred. We pray for the family and loved ones of Charlie Kirk after his assassination yesterday, and also with the school shooting in Colorado. Be with Charlie's wife and children. We thank you for the faith that he professed and for the eternal life that you give to all who trust in Christ. We also remember today the events of September 11th, 2001. Comfort those who still grieve, and let that memory lead us to not fear, but to deeper trust in you and a desire to serve others in love. O Lord, when we doubt, renew us with your promises. In suffering, help us see through the lens of the cross. Guard us from the lies of our sinful nature and help us live as those who belong to you in peace with you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.